Hi there, this is the Romance Program. I'm volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. I've got one story coming up this hour from True Love Magazine. It's called I'll Be a Virgin As Long as Daddy Breathes. Here's the story. Oh, Papa, I said, taking the can of shaving cream out of the fridge. There was no use talking to him about it. He was forgetting more and more things lately. That was the reason why I'd come back to my hometown of Hurley to take care of him. It certainly wouldn't have been for any other reason. As it was, I'd left a very good job in the city working as a legal assistant to three up-and-coming lawyers. It had been an exciting job, and my social life had been just fine. I'd had no lack of dates in the 5 years I'd lived there. I'd grown up in Hurley, an only child. As soon as I could, I'd left to go to college and only come back when my mother had passed away. It wasn't that Papa and I didn't get along. It was just that the town seemed so stifling to me. As it was, I didn't want to even think about what would happen if Papa's memory didn't improve. He was just getting older and a little forgetful, I told myself, but he'd be all right. He had to be, because I had to get back to the city. My job wouldn't wait forever, and besides, I'd been dating one of the lawyers almost exclusively. We weren't serious yet, but I felt certain that it could very well develop into something more. My father ran a tourist shop on the highway and had for years. As a teenager, I'd spent my summers working there. The shop had been my parents' whole life, but nowadays, not as many tourists stop by the side of the road to buy souvenirs anymore. I was hoping to convince Papa to close the shop while I was staying with him. I knew that it was going to be the hardest thing I'd ever done. It had been our old neighbor, Violet Glass, who'd called me about Papa. Violet was in her 80s herself, but her mind was still as sharp as a whip, and she'd been watching Papa for some time now. She got my phone number in the city and told me to come right home, that Papa needed me. Frantic, I packed my things, took a leave of absence from work, and came right away. The way Violet had talked, I expected to find Papa wandering around town all by himself, not knowing where he was or what he was doing. Instead, I found him in the shop as usual. Thinking that Violet had just pressed the panic button, I decided to stay for a week to visit with Papa and then go back home to the city. But after a few days, I began to see what she'd been talking about. Papa forgot things. Potentially dangerous things. One night he turned on the oven thinking he would warm up a late night snack for himself, but he forgot all about the food and went to bed with the oven still on. Thank heavens he didn't actually put anything in the oven, or we both might have been burned up. I woke up the next morning to find the oven on, low, with nothing in it. And there were other signs that Papa was losing his memory. Sometimes he would call me by my mother's name, or he would call me at home after he'd gone to the market to buy something, having completely forgotten what it was that he was supposed to buy. Each of these things was minor, taken alone, but altogether they added up to a growing problem, and I knew that I needed to be at home to deal with it. So I called my employer and asked for an extended leave of absence. He wasn't too thrilled about it, but knowing that I was a very hard worker, he was willing to give me the time. Lily, Brendan is here. Do you want to speak to him? My boss asked me. Brendan was the lawyer I'd been dating. No. Tell him I'll call him later on to explain everything, I said. The truth was, I didn't know how I was going to explain the situation to Brendan. We had fun together, and Brendan loved to take me to fancy restaurants and plays. So far, our relationship had been easygoing, with no talk of promises. I didn't know how I was going to explain Papa to him, or even if I should. In the meantime, though, I had far more important things on my mind. I knew I couldn't just follow my father around all day long to make sure that he showed up at the shop, or that he locked it properly at closing time. I felt so alone. Papa had always been the decision maker in the family, but since I'd come home, he was asking me about little things. Was it all right for him to take a break, for example? We were in the shop together one afternoon. I wanted to see if he was still able to handle the customers by himself. "Of course it's all right, Papa," I said, a bit exasperated. There was a busload of tourists pulling up in front of the store just as I said it. I was about to call Papa back in to help, but then I realized that I could get through the crowd much easier without him. I felt ashamed, but there was no time to do anything else. Papa was sitting at the picnic table behind the shop. We were located on the edge of a forest, and he was watching some birds at a feeder he'd put in the trees some years ago. The old Papa would have heard that busload of people coming into his shop and been there in a flash, helping with the cash, showing people the souvenirs, and even giving helpful information about local sites, restaurants, and motels. But that was the old Papa. The new Papa didn't much like crowds. I turned my attention to the people who were now lined up at the cash register. The rest of the day was pretty quiet. I had time to think about how my life was unfolding. "Hey, it's little Lily," a big, booming voice cried suddenly, seemingly from out of nowhere. "Seamus," I said, trying to catch my breath and detangle myself from the bear. Seamus had been a local hero, a big athlete back when we were in high school. Now, as we stepped back from each other, I got a better look at him. He hadn't changed much, really, maybe just a little thicker around the waist. He was still the biggest guy in town. "Lily, you've finally done it. You've come to your senses, and you're going to stay here and marry me." "In your dreams, big fella," I said, but I gave him a kiss on the cheek. "I hear you're back because of your dad," he said, lowering his voice a little. I looked over my shoulder and saw Papa unpacking some cellophane bags of souvenirs. I nodded and quickly changed the subject. What's all this talk of marriage? Have you found a girl who's unstable enough to marry you yet?" Seamus roared with laughter, and I ducked to avoid his next big embrace. I felt a little like a rag doll in his arms when he held me like that. "Seriously, you haven't hitched yourself to one of those hotshot lawyers or some other big city man yet?" he asked. "No, not yet," I said, trying to imply that maybe soon I would. I liked Seamus well enough, but he just wasn't my type. Besides, he'd been born and raised and would probably die in Hurley, and I was determined that would never happen to me. "Well, we'll have to get the old gang together while you're here, then." "Yes, I'd like that. Lily, time for your medicine," my father came over and told me just then. "Medicine? What's he talking about?" Seamus asked, looking puzzled. "Oh, it's nothing. Just some cold medicine I'm taking," I lied. The truth was, Papa used to tell me to take my medicine when I was a little girl. I'd had low iron back then, and I could still remember his voice at my bedroom door every night before I went to bed. Was Papa really living that far back in time? I quickly got rid of Seamus with a promise to get together with him soon. I wanted to see if Papa was going to do anything else out of the ordinary that day. Don't get me wrong, Papa had stretches of good days where he'd act more or less normally. In fact, it was during one of those very same stretches that Travis Treadgill came back into my life. In fact, as it was, my love life had been getting an unexpected boost from our next-door neighbor. Violet Glass had been shamelessly trying to match me up with just about every available male in town, almost from the moment I'd arrived. Oh, I knew what she was thinking. She was getting too old to look out for my dad, and she thought that if I found a nice man and settled down in Hurley, then I'd always be around to look after Papa. Well, I did worry about my father, but I also had a life waiting for me in the back, or back in the city, a life I loved. Then, just when my thoughts were churning about this dilemma, I saw Travis again. It had been at least 10 years since I'd seen him last. In fact, at first, I almost didn't believe that it was him. I'd gone down to the post office to get the mail. There was a man standing at the counter, a big man with very broad shoulders. He was getting quite a few looks from every woman in the place. "There you go, Travis. Great to have you back in town. Seems like there must be a reunion brewing here or something. Lily Klusky's back, too. In fact, here she is right now. Hey, Lily, did you know that Travis is back in town, too?" I tried to avoid both Mr. Scudder, the postmaster, and Travis, who was now searching the small place and fixing those incredible eyes on me. I wanted to run and hide, but I knew I was trapped. I walked over to them and held out my hand. Travis took my hand and shook it, pulling me a little closer to him in the process. Those eyes just seemed to bore right into me, and I wanted to pull my hand back and run as fast as and far as away from him as I possibly could. "No, Mr. Scudder, I had no idea that Lily was back in town," Travis said. Mr. Scudder was called away by one of his workers just then. I was beginning to feel very uncomfortable. What brings you back to town, Travis?" I finally managed to ask. "My mother passed away a year ago. I'm just now getting around to sorting out her things. I remembered the house. It was beyond the edge of town, sitting on a little hill with lots of land around it. Some of us kids used to go out there to play in the fields, and the brook that ran through the property. I loved that place. Travis is a world-famous photographer these days, Lily," Mr. Scudder told me, seeming to follow our conversation, even as he handled the business of the post office. "Well, hardly world-famous," Travis amended. This surprised me. Travis had always seemed so confident. I'd never thought that anything could unnerve him. I'm sorry to hear about your mother, Travis," I said. He nodded, and I could tell there was a world of pain in that small, simple gesture. "What have you been doing since high school, Lily?" "I work in a lawyer's office in the city. I'm just visiting with my dad right now." Was that disappointment I saw in those steely eyes? "Lily's dad still runs the tourist shop. Travis, after all of these years," Mr. Scudder piped up. Travis and I looked at each other, the laughter brimming in our eyes. There was no such thing as a private conversation in Hurley. "Would you like to go for a cup of coffee?" Travis asked me. I hesitated. Papa was home alone. But Travis must have taken my hesitation for my not wanting to be with him. His immediate he immediately backed away from me and made a move for the door. Of course, if you're busy, well, actually, I do have some things to take care of, but I'd love to have coffee with you. How about 3? Where would you like to meet? Travis paused, reading my face for the slightest sign that I might not be serious after all. All right, 3 it is. How about the Parthenon? It should be fairly quiet by then. Fine, it's a date then, I said, and could have kicked myself. With any other man, I wouldn't have thought twice about calling this a date. But with Travis, this man had an aura about him that was dead sexy and serious. I'd never joked around with Travis the way I did with Seamus. The truth was, I'd had a big crush on Travis back in high school, but he was 18 then, and I'd been 14. Travis was the kind of guy that I think every woman longs for, but not too many sensible ones go after. As it was, I had a dim memory of being caught in a hallway by the crush of a crowd after a big basketball game back in high school. Someone had pulled me into a room and kissed me. When I looked up, I'd been shocked to see that it had been Travis. We'd stood together like that for about a minute, just staring at each other, but it had been enough to thrill me and scare me to death all at the same time. This was no quick kiss in the closest at one of the teeny bopper parties that I used to love. This was the first serious kiss given to me by a man, not a boy. I still didn't know what had made Travis kiss me that night. I figured he'd probably forgotten all about it just as soon as it was over with. But I'd never really forgotten. Honestly, to this day, I don't think I'd ever met a man who could kiss quite the way that Travis Treadgill could. He gave a woman the impression that he would be the leader in any love affair, and not just because he was overly domineering or macho, but because he was so good at it. It got a tingle right to my toes, or I did, just thinking about it. No, not now, Lily. This is one time in your life where you have to control your urges. Because I had a big responsibility right now, my father. Dad was fine when I got home, but there was a new problem. I gave him his mail, and he quickly set it aside. Dad, aren't you going to read your mail? He looked sheepish and then admitted that he didn't know some of the people who were writing to him anymore. I picked up the letters. Some of these are invoices from your suppliers. You must remember them, don't you? I asked. But he didn't, and I realized then that slowly but surely he was beginning to depend on me completely for everything. My heart sank. What would happen to my career, not to mention my social life? But then I immediately felt guilty. My mind was so wrapped up in my worries over Papa, I completely forgot there was some place I was supposed to be at 3 o'clock. I sat down that night and took a hard look at our finances. When I was working in the city, there'd been lots of money rolling in, and luckily I'd been able to put a little aside for emergencies. Now, clearly, I'd have to tap into that money. The tourist shop had barely supported my parents after I'd left home, and now it barely supported Papa, and yet it was our only source of income, and we had to keep it open. So there was no way around it. I would have to manage the shop and at the same time keep an eye on Papa during the day. Then I'd have to watch over him at night, too. Something told me that if he got worse, it would be an exhausting job just looking after him. I honestly didn't know if I could do it. Finally, I decided to take Papa to the doctor for a checkup. Doc Castleberry, having lived in town all of his life except for when he went away to medical school, knew everyone. When Papa was sitting in the reception area of the small office, the doctor told me that he suspected Papa was in the early stages of senile dementia. Senile dementia? But that means that Papa is getting old, I said. Now, Lily, I don't know for sure, and I'd like you to take him to a specialist. But yes, that's what I think is going on. You're going to need time to think about how you want to handle this. I didn't know how to handle anything right now. Did this mean that Papa was dying? I was devastated. The day before I had to take Papa at the city, I closed the shop and had Violet sit with him while I ran some errands in town. I was walking down a side street where the buildings are very old and have little hooks and crannies, or nooks and crannies, for alleyways. Suddenly, a hand came out and grabbed my arm, pulled me into one of these secluded spots. If you're going to break a date, Lily, you could at least have the decency to call, a male voice said. And then suddenly, I was being passionately kissed. It was just like all those years before. It had been a long time since I'd been on a date, and all this male attention was overwhelming. But still, I craved his touch. Before I could catch my breath, he pulled away from me and was gone. I called after him and even looked up and down the street, but he was nowhere to be seen. It was only then that I remembered our date. Ordinarily, nothing would have made me forget a man like Travis, nothing except my father's illness. I sagged against the building in defeat. Well, it was over now, whatever that spark had been between us. After all, Travis, like most men, had his pride. I figured I'd destroyed any chance there might have been for us because I'd stood him up. Which was just as well, because after the specialist examined Papa and gave him a few mental tests, it looked like we were both in for a long and grueling road ahead. You need to find a support group, young lady. Don't try to handle this all by yourself. I don't think there's one in my town, I said. Well, there's one in the city here. They meet twice a week. Do you think you could find someone to sit with your father? I thought of Violet and wondered if she knew of someone. I didn't want to ask her to do this. As it turned out, Violet had a granddaughter who did babysitting and was very good at it. She agreed to stay with Papa for the same rates. I didn't feel good about leaving him with a young woman who normally looked after little children. As it was, Sydney turned out to be a godsend for me. So twice a week, in the evenings, I would get in my car and make my way into the city, often not getting back until late. One night, as I was pulling into the driveway, a vehicle passed me. Suddenly, it slowed down and stopped. Travis Treadgill got out. We stood there, looking at each other in the moonlight, each waiting for the other to speak. I saw it was you, and I wanted to stop and apologize, he said finally. Apologize? For the other day. I was angry with you for having stood me up, I guess, but it was no excuse for me to, well, you know. I was surprised. He was saying he was sorry for kissing me. That's all right. I'm sorry I didn't show up. Something came up and I just couldn't be there. But I should have called and explained, like you said. We still stood there. Travis scuffled his toe or the toe of his boot in the dust. "Kind of late. You've been to the city?" he asked casually. "Yes," I said, suddenly very tired. "He should have driven you home," Travis said abruptly. And then he said good night. I stared after his car for a few moments until he'd sped out of sight, headed for his mother's. It took me that long to understand what he was talking about. Of course, that was it. He thought I'd been to the city to see a man. If I hadn't been bone wary, I might have taken that as a compliment. As it was, I paid Sydney, checked on Papa, who'd been in bed for hours, and finally fell onto my own bed. At 6 next morning, Papa was waking me. "Lily, we're late. The magazine suppliers are due at the shop in less than an hour." I groaned. Was this for real, or was it yet another fantasy of Papa's? It turned out that he was right. The magazine truck did show up right on time. One of our claims to fame in town was the great selection of magazines that we carried. The townspeople all knew when the magazine truck arrived, and many of them came in before I'd had time to sort the different periodicals that we'd ordered. But I didn't mind. Anything that boosted business was all right by me. "How's your dad doing, Lily?" was the common question that day. I looked outside. Papa was obsessed with the bird feeder today. It was like he'd forgotten all about the shop and me. "He's fine, just fine," I would answer. I didn't want to tell people the truth. After all, what would that accomplish? A little while later in the day, Seamus came in and gave me a big hug from behind. My face flamed since the shop was full of customers. "Seamus, not here. Cut it out." "Oh, I get it, sugar. Save it for later." I could have killed him. Fortunately, he didn't stay long. "I see you've got your hands full," Travis Threadgill said, coming up to the counter. "Travis, I didn't see you come in." I wondered how much he'd seen and heard. "You're a busy girl, Lily, running a store, going to the city for a date, and keeping one in town, too. How do you do it all?" Before I could reply, he turned around and left. But why should I care what Travis thought of me? Obviously, though, he thought I was a tramp. But I couldn't get him off my mind. I hadn't thought about Brandon, my lawyer friend, in weeks. But a few encounters with Travis, and he'd moved into my mind on a permanent basis. I would lie awake in bed often hours after I returned home from a support group meeting and plan how I'd pay Travis back for his narrow-minded ways. Why was he so obsessed with my love life? The more I thought about him, the angrier I got. One of these days, Travis and I were going to have ourselves a showdown. The truth was, I guess, that I was lonely. I'd always had a very active social life in high school. In high school, I'd loved going out on dates. But now, back in Hurley, I was desperately lonely, and yet I didn't want to reach out to anyone in town for companionship. I probably would have enjoyed going out with Seamus and some of the old gang, but I just dreaded the questions I felt that they would ask. Was I thinking of moving back? What about boyfriends? Meanwhile, my boss had called again, asking when I'd be returning to work. After all, there was really no choice. I would either stay in Hurley and look after my father, or I'd have to put him into some kind of a home. But I knew that would kill him faster than the dementia was. Oh, there were nights when I prayed for guidance. Seamus had been calling me and coming into the shop on a regular basis. I did agree to go out with him finally, and he took me to the best place in town. He made a big show of holding me and touching me every chance every chance he got. I yelled at him, telling him to leave me alone. I walked home that night. At that point, nothing seemed to be working in my life, nothing at all. I'd always been the lucky girl, the one who got jobs and dates as easily as if they'd fallen like ripe plums into my lap, but not now. Part of my depression came about with what I was learning about senile dementia. Yes, it did finally kill people in the end, but in the meantime, there could be years and years of gradual, inseparable memory loss. I was still a young woman, the way I looked at it. If I wanted to look after my father until he died, that meant no husband and family for me. I didn't know if I could face that. Besides, wouldn't Papa one day reach a point where he'd forget he'd even had a daughter? How would I feel about looking after him then? Sometimes I would catch a glimpse of Travis in town, and I would long to call out to him, but pride kept me silent. I knew he'd be leaving Hurley for good someday soon. Just about then, Seamus started up a rumor in town that we were engaged. When I heard about it, I called him and had it out with him over the phone. Except for Violet, I felt I didn't need anyone else's help with anything. Then one afternoon, I walked down to the post office to get the mail. When I came back, there was smoke pouring from the kitchen windows. I ran into the house looking for Papa. Fortunately, the damage was mostly in the kitchen, but the house reeked of smoke and it would take some time to be fixed. I just sat down on the front steps and cried. I knew that we couldn't stay with Violet. Her place was very tiny, barely big enough for her. I couldn't impose on her like that, but where were we going to live? Suddenly, I felt someone pull me to my feet. Then I was being folded into strong, supportive arms. I figured it must be Seamus, but at that point, I didn't care. I cried on the man's shoulder, cried for what seemed like hours. He just held me. Finally, I pulled back and looked up at his face. Travis, obviously you were expecting someone else, he said with sarcasm. Don't, please don't, not today. I can't take it. I'm sorry, you're right. Come on, pack some things for you and your dad. You're coming home with me. With you, but we can't. Why not? There's plenty of room in my mom's house. I hesitated. I was worried about people finding out just how badly Papa was doing. But then again, it wasn't like Travis would spread it around town. After all, he'd always kept to himself. All right, but how can I ever repay you? Travis just let out a disgusted sound as though he'd expected me to say something like that. As the firemen were hauling their equipment away, I went back into the house to pack some of our things. Papa was sitting in the backyard, staring into space. I don't know if he fully realized what had happened. Later, when we were settled in a little suite of rooms in Travis's house, I sat down with Papa and questioned him gently about what had happened. From what I could gather, he'd been trying to make lunch for the both of us. Somehow the stove had caught fire. I held his hand and told him that it would be all right. He cried then, and I held him. More and more, it was like our roles were reversing. He depended on me so much now for everything. Around supper time that first evening, Travis knocked on our door. He'd made a great meal of shrimp and rice with some kind of heavenly sauce. Papa dug into it like a hungry child, and I realized with some guilt that he wouldn't have had anything to eat since breakfast. That was something else I would have to watch out for from now on. He might not even be able to tell me that he was hungry. I watched Papa eating with relish, not saying a single word, and then I saw Travis looking at him, puzzled. I knew then that I'd have to explain what was going on. After supper, I insisted on washing the dishes. Papa went into the living room to watch TV. I suppose you've noticed, I began. Noticed what? Papa, he's not the same as he was. Are you trying to tell me that your father has senile dementia? The words were out. The thing that I'd been so ashamed of was out in the open. Yes, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. The fire, I'm sure that Papa said it, not on purpose, of course, but while we're here, I'll watch over him night and day. Doesn't sound like much of a life. Who do you have to help you? No one. You have to have help, Lily. No one can do this sort of thing on their own. And how would you know? I didn't want to argue with Travis, not when he'd been so generous to take us in. I know, Lily, trust me. I turned around to face him. No, it couldn't be. Your mother? I asked softly. He nodded, and I could see the pain in his face. I didn't know, Travis. I'm sorry. It seems there's a lot we don't know about each other. I'd like to change that, Lily. He came closer to me then, and I thought that he was going to kiss me again. I closed my eyes, but just then I heard a noise from the living room. I bolted to the doorway. Papa had just moved from the armchair to the sofa, and that was the slight noise I'd heard. Suddenly, I could feel Travis behind me. Could feel the heat of his body so close, right through my clothes. You're going to have to learn how to relax, Lily. Not everything will be catastrophe, you know. I know. I haven't been able to relax since I came home. You both need to have a little fun. Why don't you take a long lunch tomorrow and we'll go for a picnic? A picnic, I said, laughing. I'd never heard the word before. He took my hand in his, and I felt his warmth and strength. I felt so close to him at that moment. The next day, I put a sign on the door of the shop saying that we wouldn't be back until 2. Then I told Papa that we were going to have lunch with Travis. He grumbled a little, asked who was going to look after things while we were gone, but once he was in the car with me, he immediately forgot all about the shop. 10 minutes later, when we pulled into the driveway of Travis's magnificent old house, I hesitated a moment before getting out. Travis's home had been the house of my dreams when I was a little girl. Back then, I'd rarely had a chance to go inside because our families hadn't known each other very well. Mostly, I'd roam the vast land surrounding the house with the other little kids in my neighborhood. The Threadgills were generous with people, using their land for picnics and swimming. Now I smiled at the memories. It was hard to believe that she'd had the same disease as Papa had now. I wondered if Travis had come home to take care of her, too, just as I'd come back to look after Papa. Travis had thought fried chicken, had bought fried chicken in town and made a salad for us. There were home-baked rolls and a blueberry pie. So what are your plans now? I asked him as we ate. Will you be selling the house? I guess so. It really was a beautiful piece of land. I'd buy it in a minute if I could. Travis laughed and took a napkin and wiped the corner of my mouth. Maybe chicken wasn't the best idea, but your dad seems to have liked it. Yes, he seems to really enjoy the food these days, I said, watching as Papa walked along the creek. Do you still like wildflowers, Lily? I remember you as a little girl with your hair covered in flowers. You do? You remember me from back then? Of course. You were the cutest of them all. Suddenly shy, I turned my face from him. Travis had been watching me grow up. I hadn't thought he'd even known I existed until that first kiss. I suppose you're dying to get back to your career, I said to change the subject. Oh, I suppose, he said, sighing. Don't you miss it? I miss being productive, yes, but I can't say I miss being in a different country every week. Oh, I don't know how it could ever... However, it could be a pain. I'd love to travel. Tell me about some of the places you've been. He did, and I sat back and listened to the adventures he'd had. Travis did mostly wildlife photography, but being in the right place at the right time sometimes meant that he'd cover things like earthquakes, political upheavals, and even the occasional wedding. You should write a book, I said. Me? I'm a photographer, not a writer. Just write it like you explained it to me. It would be a bestseller. He looked embarrassed and changed the subject, but I was determined to bring it up again at another time. Anyway, we'd better be getting back. We might actually have a customer this afternoon. How's the business doing? He asked. Not so well. I don't know how long it's been like this. I haven't had a chance to look at last year's financial records. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, me too. But somehow, out here in the meadow with Travis, things didn't seem gloomy at all. I went to get Papa and we made our way back to the house. I thanked Travis for the picnic and wished that Papa could concentrate long enough on the conversation to thank him too, but Travis didn't seem to mind. I drove Papa back to the shop. Living with Travis wasn't as tense as I'd anticipated. The part of the house we were living in had been a separate apartment at one time, and Travis said that his mother had used it for extra guests whenever they'd had a big celebration with lots of relatives visiting. There was a full bath, a kitchenette, two bedrooms, and a little sitting room that we used as our living room. Fortunately, the stove had the kind of knobs that come off. I thought there'd be a problem going to my regular senile dementia support meetings in the city, but Violet missed us and was more than happy to sit with Papa for two evenings a week. I asked Travis if it was all right if she slept over on those nights. That's Violet. I was just too tired from a full day at the shop and the long round trip to the city to drive her home. And besides, I missed her too. It was fine with Travis, but I knew he was dying to ask me why I went to the city so often. Maybe it was pride that I didn't tell him. I still thought I should be able to handle all this on my own with no one's help or guidance. I'd accepted Travis's help with his offer of accommodation, but that was the most I was willing to ask of him. If Violet was unavailable on one of the nights when I had to go to my meeting, then I'd hire Sydney to sit with Papa. I had to admit that having Travis around was a good influence on Papa. He seemed to respond very well to a male presence. Mostly he sat because Travis was sitting at the table, too. After work, I'd drive Papa over to his house to see how quickly the repairs were being made. I knew that our insurance rates were bound to skyrocket after this, but at least we'd be back in our own place. Then one night after my meeting, I was pulling up in front of Travis's house when I noticed there was no car in the driveway. Travis parked his truck in the garage out of sight, but Irene, the woman I'd hired to look after Papa that night, had parked her car in the driveway earlier, and now it wasn't there. I jumped out and ran to the door, climbing the stairs. What had happened? Was Papa all alone? There in the doorway to our suite stood Travis. He put his finger to his lips and closed the door to the suite. "Your dad's asleep. Come on downstairs. I don't think he's going to wake up since he had a very busy evening." "What happened?" I asked. I rarely went into his part of the house. I figured it was the least I could do to give him some privacy. "Nothing. Things were going just fine. Then Irene got a call that her son was sick and her husband didn't know what to do. She asked me if I could look after your father for a couple of hours." "Oh, I'm sorry. Things went a bit later than usual tonight," I said, starting to blush. "Lily, why do you have to do this? If this guy cares about you at all, then why doesn't he ever come here to see you?" I knew that Travis still thought I was seeing someone in the city. How shallow he must think I was, going off two nights a week and leaving my ailing father with a sitter. But there was something stubborn inside of me that didn't want to admit the truth to him, and those meetings really were helping me get through a difficult time. I was able to talk to other caregivers who were all in the same boat that I was about the feelings and hardships we were experiencing. And so I told Travis coldly, "I don't want to talk about it." "You never want to talk about it," he burst out. "Listen, Travis, we really appreciate what you've done for us, honestly, but you're hot for this guy and you're going to keep on seeing him if it kills you." "No, you've got it all wrong," I said. We were in the kitchen and Travis backed into the counter. There was nowhere else to go. He put a hand on either side of me and leaned toward me. I could hardly breathe with him so close to me. "I don't care if you've got a boyfriend, Lily. I don't care if you have a dozen men out there waiting for you, because I want you," he said, and then he started kissing my lips with feather-like kisses. I longed to pull him to me, but pride held me back. Yes, he thought I was a tramp, a woman who did it with any man who passed the time of day with her. I wanted to kiss him back, but how could I want a man who thought the worst of me? But I did, and it took everything in me to keep my arms from reaching out to him. I just kept my eyes shut. "Come on, Lily, what are you afraid of? Let's spend a night together. Get this thing out of our system. I've been wanting you ever since that first kiss, way, way back in high school." My eyes flew open then. He remembered that kiss? Then this chemistry, this force between us, it wasn't just my imagination. His hands had left the counter and were exploring my body. I was drowning. Nothing could stop us now. And still, I wanted to tell him that I knew I'd be a virgin as long as my father lived and breathed. Suddenly, from upstairs, we heard a crash. Travis got there first. He turned to me, a little out of breath, and not just from the climb. "Your dad knocked over the lamp beside the bed. Nothing to worry about." I went over and slid down onto the couch in the sitting room. I didn't dare look at Travis. "This isn't the last of this, you know," he said, and we both knew what he meant. But you're exhausted. Get some sleep, he said, and then left. I looked in on Papa. Sure enough, he'd knocked over the lamp and broken it. Travis had picked up the pieces and put them in the small trash can beside the bed. I knew I wouldn't be able to sleep, even though I was every bit as tired as Travis thought I was. What a mess my life had become. I was falling for a man who would soon be leaving forever, and I had no time at all to fall in love with anyone. My future was sealed with that older man snoring peacefully in the next room. The plain, brutal, painful truth of it was that there could be no future for me. Not until my father died. Oh, I felt so guilty even thinking that, but it was true. After all, what choice did I have? I could sleep with Travis, have a brief affair with him before he took off again for the four corners of the world. And then what? Would the memory of that love be able to sustain me through the years ahead? The next day, the contractor who'd been fixing our house called me at the store. He told me that we could move back in. Somehow, though, that news didn't make me happy. Still, I've never been one to pity myself for long. Really, it was getting to the point where Papa needed to be watched every minute of the day. Oh, how I needed someone to talk to. I didn't know it then, but Travis noticed I wasn't going to the city as often. Travis, I have to be honest with you. The house is all fixed. We should be moving back in. I know, but I don't want you to leave. Travis, haven't you thought about your own life? As a matter of fact, he calls every week, Travis said, laughing, but not talking or taking his eyes off the checkerboard. Then what's keeping you here? I couldn't imagine a life more perfect. Traveling around the world, meeting fascinating, wonderfully exotic, or doing exotic things. Travis looked at me then, and I didn't say anything. The very next day, I packed our things and moved us out of Travis's house. I'd asked Violet to look after Papa. But if I thought I'd be pleased about being back in his own house, I was surely mistaken. Where is he? Was the first thing he said. I knew immediately that he meant Travis. In the confusion, I'd forgotten to even leave a note for Travis explaining we'd moved back home. Later that night, there was a knock at the door. Lily, what's going on? I'm sorry, Travis. I forgot to tell you. You should have told me. At least I could have helped with carrying things. What is it with you? Where is it written that you absolutely have to do everything on your own? I don't have much choice. Travis pulled me out onto the porch, and we sat on the old sofa. You do have a choice. You have me. Oh, Travis, I appreciate all you've done for us. I could do more, much more. But I can't let you. You need to be out there in the world. You know, Lily, I've been doing a lot of thinking since I've been back here. When Mom was still alive, there wasn't much time to think. But now, well, I'm thinking about all the good things about Hurley I've missed. Then you don't want to leave? You get tired of living out of a suitcase. Lily, I want to stay here and help you, if you'll let me. I can't, Travis. Yes, you can. And he kissed me. Travis knew that Papa and I were a package deal. He told me that he'd loved me since the day he'd stolen that kiss way back in high school. But Travis will never have anything more to worry about because there is no one else for me but him. I plan to set up a studio in the house. This town needs a photographer, in case you haven't noticed. And with all the unspoiled land surrounding the house, I figure I can still take my wildlife shots. Travis was the answer to my prayers. Not only did he love me completely, but he knew all about what I had to cope with Papa. Yes, Travis had given me so much that I want to give him a very special present. So I'm going to help him write a book. You see, I want our children to know that you can be anything you want in life, no matter where you come from or maybe because of it. Okay, that's the end of that story, and that's going to do it for this romance program. As always, thanks for listening. This has been Volunteer Jeannie Yeo's Four Sun Sounds. Have a great week. Take care. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.